You're on 5MU. Let's now meet another Barker candidate in the lead-up to the federal election. Rosa Hillam has thrown her hat in the ring for a second time with the federal Greens. The Meningi locals worked on the land as a farmhand, shed hand, picker in Gillaroo and spent 15 years in the dairy industry. She's also a Healthy Rivers ambassador for the River Murray and she joins me now. Hi, Rosa.
Hi, thank you for having me, Jenny.
Thanks for joining us. Now, you reckon we need more down-to-earth people like yourself in Parliament?
Oh, look, if you look at Parliament at the moment, if you just look at the Senate, I mean, three quarters of the Senate come from a legal background, and I just don't see anyone that just represents the average person, and I'm pretty much your everyday average person. And I think that that's what's missing. They don't have the lived experience, and they don't realise when they sign their name to something, how it affects all of us on the ground. And I think we need a more diverse parliament so that real voices can be heard. And I think the most important thing is having country voices.
I understand you were never necessarily affiliated with a political party until last time you ran. So what helped you decide on the Greens?
No, well, I wasn't. I was apolitical. And as a lobbyist for water, that's suited me very well, but I was actually at a ministerial mixer in Albury, and on the plane home, I realised that I had a voice and I actually was doing a good job, and that maybe I should try and get into federal government because I had concerns about health for the country with regard to mental health, disability, substance, all that sort of stuff. And people don't have a voice because they're so busy dealing with it. And so I thought, well, I'll ring the Greens and see if they know anyone that might be able to help me, because I actually wanted to run as an independent but just didn't know how. And after talking to them, they said, you know, go and have a look at our policies and see what you think. And when I actually got online and looked at their policies, I thought, wow, I know we're not looked at as mainstream, but I think you find if most people actually had a look at the policies, everybody would be quite surprised at what's there. It's not just an environmental party like the big parties would like to have people think, and it has a very broad policy base, and it just suited me.
Yeah, that is something I note about the Greens in recent years, is social policies are at the forefront of the agenda a lot of the time. One of those, raising the rate, a distinction from the major parties. What can you tell us about this particular area?
We have a policy in place to raise the rate across the board for everybody to $88 a day. And we also would like to lower the age of pension back to 65. And we would like to abolish all of the punitive measures, which would actually save quite a lot of money. And we'd like to get rid of job services and go back to the public employment service, like the old CES, which was really good. People did get jobs. I mean, I don't know of very many people now using these job agencies that actually get work. They just get their boxes ticked.
And then I imagine there'd be some people listening and thinking, oh, it's really tough for some employers at the moment to get staff, and would be worried about a raise in the rate maybe being a disincentive. What do you say back to that?
No. Look, there are places across the world that have tried all sorts of things. And the thing is that somebody who can't afford to live, can't afford to feed themselves, is less likely to be able to afford to apply for a job. They're more likely to have mental health issues. And by lifting people up and giving them a better life, also gives them an incentive to get out and actually get employment.
Rosa Hillam's with us. She's Greens candidate for Barker. I also understand mental health and dental in Medicare is something that the Greens and you're particularly keen to see happen.
Yes. I think it was about 2010 when the Greens actually got dental into Medicare for children. And so this is not a new issue for us, but it's something that really needs to be done. Just for my own experience, I am a very low income person. I live on a carer's pension. I actually just recently had to have all my top teeth removed, and it was disastrous because I live in Meningi. I've been in Meningi now for 20 years, but for me to do that, I had to go to Adelaide to the dental clinic, and what should have only taken 6 visits took 16 visits. When you're doing 300 kilometre round trips, it's no longer a viable and easy thing to manage if you are on a payment. Regardless of if it started off cheaper, it doesn't end up cheaper. Whereas if it was in Medicare, you've got greater access. You don't have to travel as far. If you can look after your mental health and you can look after your dental health, it saves so much in the long run, because dental health especially causes heart problems and all these other health issues, which then become more expensive as you move along.
How would the Greens pay for some of these policies?
We've been very clear that we want to put in a billionaire's tax and a super tax on multinationals. And it's quite interesting that we talk about this, because I've noticed both the major parties are spending and spending and spending, and they're saying they're doing millions for this and millions for that. None of them are actually telling us where this money's coming from. I mean, I know there's a lot of banter about, oh, the Greens wouldn't be any good with money, blah, blah, blah. Well, we all, every party, has their policies costed in the Parliamentary Budget Office. When we put something up and we say this is how we're going to pay for it, it's all gone through and it's all been costed through the Parliamentary Office, the same as Labor, the same as Liberal. But I'm just wondering, I'm hearing all these handouts from the other parties, but I'm not hearing where this money's coming from or what cuts they're actually going to make.
And just lastly, you know, SA's obviously been sold short on the River Murray, and it's often left up to the state governments to battle out river management. But what changes would you like to work on to see things change on a federal level?
Oh, look, there are so many things. But one of the things that really needs to happen is we need a independent ICAC, or whatever you'd like to call it, and it really needs to be scrutinised, because there is a lot of things at play within that. And just recently, the appointment of the new CEO makes you want to raise your eyebrows, because he comes from a petroleum company, and I know there's a lot of rhetoric out at the moment because he's sent out an in-house 2-page memo all about his accolades and who he is and about playing footy with Barnaby Joyce at college and stuff, but not once in those 2 pages did he actually mention the environment, which is what the Murray-Darling Basin plan was put in place for. And so I'm absolutely terrified that he's at the helm at the moment. And I think a lot of the people in the Murray-Darling Basin Authority or Murray-Darling Basin themselves are quite concerned. But the plan was put in place to ensure that over-allocation stopped and that we could keep the Murray alive. And since, I think, 2018, we've had 80% more permanent plantings in almonds. A vote for the Liberals at the moment is a vote for Barnaby Joyce. And the 450 gigalitres of water that you hear everyone talk about, it's not an add-on. The 450 was asked for by South Australia because the 2750 was way less than what was needed to keep the Murray-Darling system alive. And so to sign up, we asked for that extra 450. Now, that's not just for South Australia. That benefits the whole of the system. And then you hear Little Proud basically tell us the basin plan is dead. South Australia, we are the driest state. We rely on water coming down. And so we have to stand up. And I am really concerned that if the coalition government get back in, I'm terrified about what our future is going to be like, especially out here, with the threat of water security.
Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it, Rosa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.